Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Welcome to our show in episode 488, sweat pouring down my forehead. My God, that's a lot of talking. I'm so happy, and we're going to share the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her mind, but very deeply, with one of our most favorite guest, Dr. Norman Rosenthal, our go-to for everything that has to do with, am I losing my mind? What is going on? Oh my gosh. Okay, this is going to be another special show with Dr. Rosenthal and one that I know you'll just love. Before we begin, please know that this episode is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins. These are vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. They have a special gift for women, the new award-winning Her Life Stage products. These products provide support all the way from the menstrual years through perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause. It's a real integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, please run on over to your local health food store. You can go to Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or check it out at solaray.com. And if you do go to the website, make sure to use promo code HER20 for 20% off. You'll be glad you did. And here's your first reminder to click on iTunes after this whole episode to rate and review the show, because we love to hear from you. All right. It is time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Now, many of you know of Dr. Norman Rosenthal's work because he is that famous. He's so famous. And his work started with beautiful research that was done to be able to identify seasonal affective disorder. And of course, he then ended up with an international bestseller on SAD, which is just one of those amazing conditions we never knew we had until Dr. Norman Rosenthal began his work, the National Institute of Mental Health of the National Institutes of Health. Of course, he's a New York Times bestseller, writing beautiful books like Transcendence and The Gift of Adversity, one of my most favorites as well, Supermind, Poetry RX. And these are 50 beautiful poems that heal and bring joy to your life. And now he's got a new book, of course, Defeating SAD, A Guide to Health and Happiness Through All the Seasons. Norm, welcome aboard again. Good to see you.
Great to be here.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We're going to need you for all kinds of things on this episode. My entire staff said, don't just talk about SAD. This is a crazy world we're living in. We need Norm. And there was like a little chant in the back. We need Norm. And it's all about how do you maintain your sense of self and sanity when the world is going nuts. Let's first start with just the weather. So now we're well into October at this point in time. And what we're doing here is noticing the change of season. I just felt it was a little cooler out there over the last couple of days. And already I know that the days have been shortening and people are kind of, what do you do with all that darkness, you know, as it starts to happen? And how do you take care of yourself? Start right on in. Let's just start out with what SAD is.
Well, when I started to work on this project, which was almost 40 years ago, nobody had described it. And I knew, based on coming from South Africa to New York City, that when the winter hit, I was not the same person. I slowed down. I wasn't as intense. I wasn't as passionate. I didn't feel the pizzazz that you feel in the long summer days. or at least that I do. And I thought, what the hell is going on here? It wasn't happening to me in South Africa, which is much closer to the equator. And it happened for 3 years in a row. And then I encountered people who had it even worse than I did. And I realized that there is this syndrome or condition that basically hasn't been described. So I went to a local journalist from the Washington Post. I said, hey, you know, maybe you'll be interested in this. And she was awesome. And she put it in the paper, an article, and it got syndicated all over the country. And we got thousands of responses. And one of them, I opened it up and out dropped a poem by one of my favorite poets, Emily Dickinson. And it started, "There's a certain slant of light, winter afternoons that oppresses, like the heft of cathedral tunes." And I thought, wow, she had it, I've got it, it's got to be rather common. And it is.
There's a thing.
It was a thing before people invented the word thing.
There you go. So what happens to certain people? I'm wondering if everyone, you know, people have it a little bit and maybe a moderate amount and then a whole lot. What happens there?
Yes, it's a spectrum thing. So, you know, you can think of height. Some people are very tall, some people are short, most people are like in the middle. And that's the same with a lot of traits, including what we call seasonality. Some people have a lot of it, some people have not much of it, some people hate the winter, some people say, I love the winter, I hate the summer. So it's this diversity in the population that has enabled different people to survive in different environmental conditions. And, you know, people who have to survive in the cold north and the short days, they probably evolved many things like fair skin, blue eyes, because they need the vitamin D. And people who come or live around the tropics, they develop lots of melanin because they need protection against the UV rays. So we evolve according to where we have been for centuries or generations. And that's how I think there were variations in your responses to the seasons.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, that makes all the sense in the world. From what I remember from your beautiful work, people's moods kind of changed when they didn't have enough light. And when you wake up in the morning, it's dark, and then it gets dark early. And so you've got this foreshortened amount of light. So help me understand.
You know, there's a basic principle in medicine that when somebody's deprived of something, you give it to them. If somebody's had a bleed, you give them a blood transfusion. And if somebody's had a bleed of the light, you give them a light transfusion. And so we developed this light therapy where people would sit in front of a bright light box. And that would actually, we did our controlled studies, and that showed that it was superior to a placebo. And then, as we know, as fellow scientists, Dr. Peake is concealing the fact that we were colleagues at the National Institute of Mental Health. We did some wonderful stuff together. But you have to repeat, you have to replicate your work. So first we replicated it ourselves, and then it's been replicated all the world over in Europe, in Australia, and South Africa. Everybody has found this condition and that it responds to bright light. And so now it really is a thing. And I've sort of handed it over to the universe. So it's just out there. I have written a new book on it called Defeating Sad. And it's a very short book because it's really puts together all the information you need in a short span of pages.
You know, what's really important, I think, number one, is for everyone to know it is a thing. So it's a recognized issue with a number of people. A lot of people sort of blew it off for years. It's like, you know, I'll just grit my teeth and somehow get through it. And maybe it's just me and that type of thing. But what's the best thing someone could do to be able to navigate the shorter days and the increase in darkness?
The first thing is to recognize it, because it comes upon you slowly. It's a slow decline into a deep down space. And so if you catch it early, you can treat it early. And then, but even if you catch it late, you better treat it anyway. It doesn't matter. Even if it's later, it's late, better late than never. So you're going to want to get yourself a therapeutic light fixture. You can go onto Amazon and one of them, there are many light companies that are out there that sell these things.
So this is a light box.
Yes.
And there are a number of them out there. I know I have a little mini one. So I love that because it's quite portable. I can kind of put it anywhere I want to. And then you've got some pretty big ones out there too. It really, from what I gather from the light box companies, there are all kinds of options. And I'm here to tell you, you know, from based upon my own experience, that it really, really works. And I tend to use it, say, for instance, first thing in the morning when it's kind of darker out as the days get shorter. It really sets the tone for the day. And it doesn't take much more than just having it right there in close proximity as I'm having my breakfast or reading my iPad and catching up on the news and all the rest of it. So that works. And you could use it more than once a day, right?
Oh, sure. You know, because sometimes you find yourself wilting in the later part of the day and you can bring it out. And, you know, I know a lot of people like the small boxes because they're portable, but for somebody like me who's really susceptible, I have boxes all over the house of different sizes, depending. You know, you get a feeling like, you know, those people who like to drink their morning coffee, for example, and they know what's too much coffee and what's just the right amount because you don't want to overdo it and be all jazzed up. It's the same with light therapy. You get a kind of instinct for how much works for you and what's more than you need.
I know. I love it. So I remember when I first met you, I was in the National Institute of Child Health Human Development, and we were upstairs on the 10th floor. And I think you were on the fourth?
Correct.
Yeah, the fourth floor. So I came cruising on down to meet you for the first time because there was no question. I wanted to look at the changes in body weight that took place over the course of wintertime with people who did have SAD. I remember as I entered, you know, some main door or something, it was very interesting. I said, I'm looking for Dr. Norman Rosenthal's office. And they said, oh, you're not going to be able to miss this one. And I said, well, what do you mean? I said, it's kind of lit up. And so I thought, well, what are they talking about? And I walked in and there were light boxes everywhere. Oh my gosh. And it was just amazing. And I walked out of there and I got to tell you, it was impossible to go to sleep that night because I was so activated. I'm so sensitive to the light boxes themselves. I'll never forget that as long as I live. It was just a trip. So I have to watch it and not use it too much if I'm going to use it later in the day because I think it'll kind of keep me activated. That's how effective it is. Does that make sense, Norm?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it plenty of times. And I did it myself before I realized that don't do it too late at night. Don't do too much. This is potent stuff. And for those people who are sensitive. So, you know, go slow, go easy, start early, and you'll be fine.
So what other things can people do? What do you recommend in your books for people to be able to navigate these shorter days, these darker days?
So many things, you know, after you recognize it, after you get more light, exercise is fantastic, especially exercising outdoors on a winter day. Bundle up warmly and look up at the sky and get out there and pound the turf. That's what I do, and it's a wonderful thing. Exercise, I think it's very important to maintain your social contacts. There's a very big cognitive behavioral loop here. In other words, if you think, oh my God, I've got to hibernate, I'm going to go to bed, I'm going to pull the blankets over my head, I'm going to eat Twinkies, this is not good. Get out there, walk with somebody, hang out with friends. I'm sorry you're not around the corner anymore, Pam, because we would get together and we would walk around and we'd have a great time, but find yourself some good walking buddies and exercise partners. Stay active, stay social, counteract your trend to want to hibernate. That would be very good to do. And it's been shown that cognitive behavior therapy, realizing that how you think and what you do makes a difference to how you feel.
And that's so terribly important. I think a lot of people, is it common to feel kind of down and depressed when it gets dark out?
It is, but there are people who are opposite. We've just had a very hot summer, and some people say, I hate the summer. I feel so depressed in the summer, and I can't wait for the days to get shorter. So the population is varied, which is nice. People are all different. So figure out what kind of person you are. In my book, I've got a scale that helps you measure where you fall on the spectrum of seasonality. Are you a summer person, a winter person? How bad is it? Help people to gauge and measure that and figure out what kind of help they need to be good all year round.
What's also incredibly important is that, you know, people like to just sit around, and especially if it's a little colder outside, et cetera, they put on weight. Is it true that people with SAD tend to put on weight?
Absolutely, they do. They do. And we did some studies where we fed sample meals of either cookies or turkey to people with SAD and healthy controls. And people with SAD are energized by cookies. Most people would feel logy or tired, but people with SAD are actually energized. And you know, when you're looking for energy, it's easy to gravitate to the fridge and pull something out of it. And it's much better to use light, because obviously you're not going to put on the weight with the light that you're going to put on with the Twinkies. Keep your carbohydrates under good control. Eat well, lots of light, and lots of self-care.
Now, what about your mind? What do you do for, you know, to kind of calm your mind and to also help yourself navigate mentally during those months?
There is a whole area of self-help called cognitive behavior therapy, and it can be remembered by A, B, C. A is an antecedent event. B is the belief it causes, and C is the consequence. So, I call you up, Pam, can we go for a walk today? And you say, that's the antecedent. You say, actually, no, I'm busy. And I say, okay. And then I think, Pam doesn't like me anymore. She's got other friends. She's, you know, because I'm in a down state. And then they encourage you to quiz yourself and challenge yourself. Wait a sec. Maybe Pam really is busy. Maybe she really has. I need to test this. So I call you back and say, hey, is there another time that will work for you? Because the consequence of a bad belief about yourself is depression. So I call you back and say, you know, I didn't know whether you might have some other times available. Sure, I'll look at my calendar and I'll find another time. And so I've challenged my belief, which was a false belief. And now I realize that I'm misinterpreting other people. And that's what happens when you get depressed. You misinterpret what other people are saying to you, and you think the worst and you feel the worst. So there's a systematic way to challenge your thinking processes. And I go into some detail, but there are whole books on cognitive behavior therapy of depression.
Can you repeat again the ABC?
A is the antecedent event. I call you up. Would you like to come to lunch with me? And you say, no, sorry, Norm, I'm busy. Then there is the belief. I believe that Pam's no longer my friend. She doesn't like me anymore. That's the false belief. And then you have to challenge that belief and say, wait a sec. That would only be one possible reason she said she can't come. She might be busy. She might not be feeling very well. She might not have time for lunch. Get back in touch and say, hey, is there another time? And you might say, well, I'm sure there's another time. I've been terribly busy, but 2 weeks out, I've got a space. And how about that? And then you've challenged your false belief. And then you're feeling better. Wait a sec. She really does want to have lunch with me. So that's the basic structure, the ABC, the automatic negative thoughts that occur in depression, also known as ANTS, automatic negative thoughts, TS, A-N-T-S, and false beliefs, negative beliefs that just click on because you're depressed, and you challenge them and you act on that challenge. And that's what therapists often do, but you can do some of that for yourself.
I love that, ANTS. I'm not going to forget that one. That's a keeper. It's a winner. Oh my gosh, I just love this. You always are able to communicate and message difficult science sometimes in such a beautiful way, and you're so articulate. I just love it. I sit here and I learn all the time. So if we can kind of look now at the whole SAD thing, the mind, right? So you gave us the ABC, you gave us an idea about how to stay better centered. You know, people always talk about journaling and meditation. What about that?
I love meditation. As you know, you and I both do transcendental meditation. I don't want to speak for you, but for me, you know, you started this whole episode of our podcast by saying, how do we stay centered in ourselves? And I don't know a lot of things that do that better than transcendental meditation. There are all kinds of meditations, so I'm not here to advertise anything. That's the kind that I do because it's easy. I've practiced it now for 20 years. And when I sit down and meditate according to the schematic, I go into a really beautiful place that settles me down. And even in the present time, when the country is so polarized and there's so much acrimony and there's so much divisiveness, it's easy to get torn one way or another, or a neighbor against neighbor, or family member against family member. And if you can center yourself in a good place, which is what the meditation really enables you to do, you can become very resistant. You can become very protected against these slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
And there's science behind this.
Oh, yeah, there is. There's a lot of science about people feeling less anxious, people feeling less down, and physiology, you know, blood pressure coming down, and that's a huge risk factor for all kinds of illnesses. And it's one of the foundational habits. I talk about the foundational habits: exercise, proper eating, proper sleeping, self-care. Meditation is, for me, a key. It's foundational. Those are most of them. Good friends, good relationships with other people. These are like, they're better than gold because they keep you well.
And they also, you know, contribute to the quality of life, not the quantity. Quantity is fine. I mean, that's whatever. But, you know, who wants to be alive if you're not enjoying yourself?
Yeah, but they do go together. When you feel good, when life feels good and you're happy, you're also, it's a healthier place to be than to be worried and fretting and down. That's not conducive to self-care and good health.
So what's really interesting is you've written books that have beautifully intertwined a lot of these themes, and you kind of dive into them. So stepping back for a second, with SAD, everyone out there on the Her Podcast land, just know that as the days get shorter, you got much more darkness in the day. Wake up in the dark, go to sleep, you know, I mean, or at least come home from work in the dark. Just brace yourself and say to yourself, am I living foundationally a lifestyle that's going to help me navigate this particular challenge? And that's going to be clean eating, not crazy and on some kind of fat, just clean eating, you know, avoid the ultra processed foods, you know, the science fair projects, the rest of it. Stay as physically active as possible and just be creative about it. You could do plenty of things in your own home, YouTube it. For crying out loud, there's more awesome things you can do. Chair exercises, you could do body weight exercises. You don't necessarily even have to be venturing out when it gets super cold or anything. I'm just saying that there's always a way. So that's going to be super important. And then maintaining, I think people blow it off, and I'm so glad you prioritized it, Norm, social contact and networks. And that includes everything from multimedia platforms to in person. So whether you're FaceTiming with your family member 3,000 miles away or whatever you're doing, what's really important is that you're maintaining that contact. Because, you know, when it gets cold and kind of miserable out, yeah, you do want to climb under the, you know, covers and just forget about life in general. And then you want to overeat and basically stare at a tube. So it's your television or a device or whatever, and you get lost and it's a mess. What I love also is to definitely use some form of meditation. Another way I like to say meditation is self-reflection. We reflect on everyone else's well-being. What about our own? And so just taking a moment and just starting like that. And then if you want to learn something more structured like transcendental meditation, there are plenty of teachers. You just have to go to the tm.org and you'll find whatever you need right there. But it helps center you and it helps keep you in the present. I think we become kind of delusional when we're floating off and not staying mindfully in the present and honoring that for what it is. So all of those things coming together will really help you navigate. And then, of course, the light boxes work like a charm. Utilize those as best you can as you go forward. Now, it's interesting. I mentioned the word challenge, and I'm kind of like crawling up to that word adversity. You wrote probably one of my most favorite books, and that's The Gift of Adversity. I'd like to ask you why you wrote that, and now we're going to make it applicable to everything we're talking about. Go to that place with adversity.
Well, you know, I, like so many people, we go through life and there's certain things that nobody ever taught us, but we learned just from the experience. And it seemed to me, I just had the instinct, because those experiences have stood me in good stead and helped me, it seemed like I should write a memoir that I had originally wanted to call Lessons Nobody Ever Taught Me. And then I had a wonderful editor who looked it over and said, you know, I've read all these lessons and every one of them is something that you learned from when something went bad, something was wrong. You made a mistake, you made a miscalculation, and how you use that to learn from it. And so it became, instead of Lessons Nobody Ever Taught Me, it became The Gift of Adversity. And it's an old concept, but I've relayed it in a new way because it's my life. And I broke the thing down into four areas. Youth, which is growing up in South Africa. Adulthood, which was arriving in America. And then heroes of mine that I'd had the good fortune to know or meet. And then farewells, saying goodbye to all the people that you've seen and you've learned to get to know a little bit in the book, and how it was to say goodbye, you know, that last part of life where maybe we're saying goodbye to others, or they're saying goodbye to us. It's really a part of living is farewells. And I think that's important. And when we want to push it out of our minds, oh, we're not going to say goodbye, we're never going to say goodbye, then it becomes so scary because it's not reality. In reality, people do have to say goodbye or want to say goodbye. And there has to be some thinking about it and how you do it and come out of that process feeling good. So those are the four areas. As I think of that last one, saying goodbye, I'll tell you the very, very last lesson that I had. My mother was a pretty terrific woman. She loved us. She made us feel good. And when she died, she was in South Africa. My two sisters and I got together, and we found with her will a little note in which she told us how much she loved us, how proud she was, and how she wished that our children, we would feel that they would grow up to be as good as we have grown up. So to have that kind of gift at a time when somebody's leaving you, I have it in my desk drawer. I look at it from time to time. But that was a lesson to me that it's never too late to say, I love you. And that was the title of that little chapter. And so it goes all the way through everything I learned that I felt was most important. I got involved. I was scammed. How did I get out of that? I was stabbed in South Africa when I was in the car with a girlfriend. How did I get out of that? How did I survive that? And then when they transfused me back in the day, they had hepatitis C in the blood. What was that like? And so I'm not always having accidents. I don't want to give that impression. But even from small things, you get big lessons. And it's good if you can get a big lesson from a small thing. That's very lucky. So anyway, it was just sharing with my readers and the people who might learn something or gain something. That's the common thread to all these books. Each one has shared with them something I've learned either personally or through my research and ways in which I think other people might benefit from that.
One of the things that you did as a beautiful gift is you also wrote a book about poetry. The Poetry Rx, you know, you and I are physicians, so we're always filling out somebody's Rx, you know, their prescription. You took these poems and you really delved deeply into them, providing insights that only you could do so that people understood the importance, the meaning and purpose, and it made it much richer experience. And I remember the New York Times wrote a beautiful review of the book, and I thought it was definitely one of your best because it was so unique to have this done by a doctor, by a psychiatrist, who really shares a very unique perspective, an extraordinary perspective, something that we may not be able to immediately grasp ourselves, but there it is nonetheless. So I really celebrate you, Norm, with all of this breadth of knowledge that you've shared with everybody. Needless to say, I'm just going to end this whole thing with this. I need you to do this as a gift for all of us. My entire team said, if you're getting him on again as one of our most favorite guests on the Her podcast, tell him we need help. Help, because it's election season and all heck is breaking out. And this is not a political thing at all. It's just like, I don't care what your persuasion is. How do you maintain sanity when you said it yourself, the world around you seems to have lost its mind? What do you do to center?
Well, here's what I would say. I won't say the day after the election, because the last time there was a lot of rancor and discord following the election. But ultimately, the dust will settle. There'll be somebody who won the election. There'll be somebody who lost the election. There'll be some people who are thrilled that they got their choice and some people who'll be furious that they didn't get their choice. And what I would recommend to each and every person is you are still an entity all of your own. You are not a winner. You are not a loser. You are the same person basically that you were before. And your challenge is to remain centered. Whether it's a winner or a loser, the writer Albert Camus said, stay lucid in ecstasy. So if your guy or gal got in, stay clear. If it was bad, find a way to make it good for you and for your close ones, or for whatever people you care about, charities you care about. Retain your values, retain your center of gravity. I know it sounds much easier than it really is, and I'm not saying that I won't be in a stir, but just the advice I'm giving to everybody, that's the advice I give to myself. I meditate, I exercise, I take my dog. That's another thing Pam and I share. This wonderful animal who loves you, doesn't matter who you are and whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, he's going to love you anyway. And
I say, act like a dog.
Act like a dog. Be loyal to your friends. I don't say lick them when they come to you, but be nice to them. And so I think that what I'm really saying is each individual needs to take care of herself or himself. Each individual has to take responsibility. That's the thing that I would say has come through. People need to take responsibility for themselves, for their loved ones, and for the community as a whole. Let's be contributors and not detractors from the things that are going on, even if bad things happen.
Such wise words, you know, and I'll just pile on one little thing to all of those beautiful words, and that is just put yourself on a news diet, quit doom scrolling, going into your social media and getting lost in it. Next thing you know, you're just totally gone. I personally put myself on a news diet. I'm more than happy to do a quick little enlightening with maybe one or two of my iPad, you know, newsletters, whatever the hell, newspapers. And then the rest of the day, I am engaged with life. I don't want to know. I'm just busy. I want to be able to live a life of meaning and purpose. And I want to be able to be of service. And I can't do that if I'm doom scrolling and if I'm jumping down rabbit holes filled with social media vitriol. So I really caution everyone to just sort of put limits and boundaries on that, because I think that that's really important too. What do you think, Norm?
I think it's beautifully put, and I agree 100%. Now I only have to figure out how to do it myself.
I know, seriously. I mean, every now and then, I just like my little fingers go right to that, you know.
That's you good. Know, doom scroll is one excellent word. The other one is clickbait.
Oh, yeah.
And it gives you that little piece of bait, and so you click again, and before you know it, an hour's gone.
Yeah, and next thing you know, you're following everybody and his mother, and the whole thing, I mean, leave mothers out of this. So anyway, Norm, once again, you're just extraordinary in your ability to be able to, as a scientist, message for people and to be able to pick out the golden nuggets in all of our scientific studies as they relate to everything from seasonal affective disorder to just mood in general, and then to realize that when adversity happens, it's replete with life lessons, and you apply those. You just keep pushing forward. You make it work one way or the other. I love to call it muddling through, but somehow you're going to make it. And then most importantly, take care of yourself. You know, everyone out there on the Herb Podcast land ranting and raving constantly about healthy lifestyle. I can't say enough, because that is foundational to everything we're talking about at all times. You got to be able to do it. And if you use that P word, I wasn't perfect, you know, you're going to make me crazy, because that's never the goal, ever, ever, ever the goal. The goal is to do your best, period. And some days you do your best better than others, but you just strive to do your best. So that's where it is. Norm, I can't thank you enough for being on the Her Podcast again. And once again, what's the best place for them to learn about your work?
Yes, thank you so much. It's always such a joy. Even if we can't walk together, we can talk together. So it's wonderful. My website is normanrosenthal.com. And people can also find out about me on my Wikipedia page or on Amazon. So there's a lot of places where you can find out about me and my work. I hope that someone out there enjoys what I've written and maybe even that it enhances their lives. The thing with Poetry Rx is it's not just a poetry book. It's how you can use these poems for a whole bunch of different issues that come up in your life.
In other words, healing as you're going through life.
How you can use it as a healing principle.
You know, you and I as physicians, Norm, at the end of the day, what really makes everything work in our life is when we know that we've touched at least one person out there and helped them during their life journey. Fantastic. I want to just say thank you, thank you, thank you, Dr. Norman Rosenthal, our go-to for all things. What is going on with your mental health? Oh, so wonderful. All right, so now here's another shout-out to our sponsor, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y. These are vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. Don't forget Her Life Stages products. And these are such gifts to women to be able to help support them during their entire lifetime on their hormonal journey, to say the least. So run on over to Solaray.com. Use promo code HER20 for 20% off. And you can also go to Sprouts, Whole Foods, and your local health food store. Here's another little reminder to run on over to iTunes to rate and review this terrific episode because we want to hear your feedback. I just love it when Norm is on with me. You know, this has just been such another amazing Her podcast. You know, I'm Dr. Pam Peake, your host, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in, being such an important part of the Her podcast community. Pop on over to drpeake.com to learn more about my work and social media. Join me every week for another Her podcast where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders just like Dr. Norman Rosenthal as we share our wit and wisdom for you to enjoy. So thanks so much. And remember, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day. A little carpe diem. Have a great one.